book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. I do want to remind you the Faith Bible Institute will continue this evening at 5 p.m. So if you are part of that class, please come with your homework done and come to class for this evening. When I was a college student, I heard a lot about liberalism. Liberalism, not from a political liberalism so much, from religious liberalism. People who denied the Bible, they denied the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. They denied the person of God, you know, all kinds of things. And I did not get saved in a liberal church. I got saved in a Free Will Baptist church, and they preached the gospel. So I thought, are there really these kind of churches out there? I mean, I knew they were, but I decided with a friend of mine on a Sunday morning to say, let's go to the most liberal church we can go to. That way I can see it. And I went to this church, Buncombe Street United Methodist Church, it was called. And I looked it up this morning. As a matter of fact, they still exist, but they have a group of people who are finally trying to pull away from that church because of the denying of the Scripture. Now, I'm not just picking on Methodists, because there's Baptists, liberal Baptist churches, there's liberal Presbyterian churches, and we could go on through the denominations. But I went to Buncombe Street United Methodist Church, and we sat there, and the preacher got up, and he preached a message, and he was saying things like, you know, we're all children of God, and we all need to come to our Heavenly Father. And basically what he did was preached everybody as a child of God. And I, you know, it was about everything I could within me to not interrupt the service. And I went up to the fellow right after the service, and I said, well, let's talk about this for a minute. I said, you know, the Bible does not teach that we're all children of God. I understand the concept, you know, we're all creation, God's creation. But I quoted to him John chapter 8, which I had you turn to, verse 44. And I said, well, what about this verse? And this verse states, ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar, and the what? So, to say that we're all children of God, when the Bible states that there are those who are children of the devil. So he did not appreciate that. But at the same time, I really felt vindicated when I dealt with him, and a week later that church caught on fire. I didn't set it on fire, you know, but it caught on fire. And so my friend said, didn't you go to the Buncombe Street United Methodist? I said, yes, I did. He said, it caught on fire. I said, well, I felt a little vindicated and certainly didn't want anyone harmed through that. But here's the point. The point is that not all people have God as their Father. If you look over to chapter 20 in the book of John, and I'm going to speak from various verses this morning, I really want God's word to speak to you this morning. And I really want you to find out what the Bible says and to hear what it says. One of my favorite things to do certainly in sermon preparation is to go through and look up a topic and find out everything the Bible says on that topic. Well, I wanted to, being Father's Day, to talk about God as the Father. And so I am going to try to move quickly through verses. I'll probably quote a lot of these. And we will hopefully gather or gain some great truths from God's Word. John chapter 20, verse 17. Now, Jesus saith unto her. Well, her is verse 16, Mary. And Mary, he says in verse 17, touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. And Ryrie, I think, does catch the idea here that the idea is, do not, Mary, continue holding on to me as if I'm going to continue to stay. I'm going to be leaving. He had already told his apostles he would be leaving. But the point I'm wanting to make is he said to believing Mary, he says, I ascend unto my Father. He called God his Father. Now we know the scripture teaches there's God the Father, but there's also God the Son. Jesus is God the Son. And the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Spirit. And he said to believing Mary, he is not only your God, but he is also your Father. So he says, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. I ascend to my God and your God. And that does not in any way remove the fact that Jesus is God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 14 and following. This is a passage that every Christian who wants to live a godly life should really understand and practice. He says, do not, verse 14, be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now, verse 17, he speaks about those who need to be separated. Verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Now, if you've ever bought into the lie, be like them to win them, that is not biblical. Now, in a sense, now there is a sense in which we can identify with people and their needs and their circumstances, but to be like an ungodly person in order to win an ungodly person is certainly not what God has in mind. But notice he says, touch not, verse 17, the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And he's going to quote Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 1 and verse 9, and will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So the Apostle Paul is writing to believers, and he says that God is not only their God, but he is their Father. So this morning, I want to preach a message on God, my Father. God, my Father. And certainly we hope that any father listening to this would understand what perfect fatherhood looks like. And I think it's important that we understand that God is not only the God of the believer, but He is also our Father. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want us to notice some things here. First of all, I want you to see the compassion of our Father. The compassion of our Father. Now, all I have to say is John 3:16, and if you're a believer, you've heard of that verse. How many have heard that verse? Okay? Now, I said that in such a way that if you had not heard that verse, that makes you not a believer. But the fact is, most of you know that verse. Can we say it together? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God not only loved, He so loved. And what we find is that God is a God of compassion. He is a God of love. Now, in what way? First of all, I want you to see that if you are a believer in Christ, number one, under this point of compassion, He sought you. He sought you. John chapter 6. And if you go back over to the book of John, chapter 6, I want you to see what God says about His seeking us. John chapter 6, and notice with me verse 44. Can we read this out loud together? He says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So the scripture here tells us that God, He is the one that brings us to Himself. Look at verse 65. And He said, look at verse 65. "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him by" who? "My Father." So as a Heavenly Father, if you know Christ as your personal Savior, He sought you. Now Romans chapter 10, chapter 3, verse 10 says, "There is none righteous. No, not even one." And then verse 11 says, "There is none that seeketh after God." God sought you. He did not say, "Oh, here's somebody who wants to fellowship with me, so therefore I'll show him some favors." No. The Bible says that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet, what? Sinners, He died for us. So the scripture tells us that God sought you. Luke chapter 15, and we won't go there, but you'll see that there are three illustrations of God seeking. One having to do with the 100 sheep who went away from their shepherd. And one of those sheep took off, and the good shepherd sought the one sheep. We're also told of an illustration of a woman who lost a coin. And that coin, she did what? She does like some of you do when you lose your keys. You know, look at, where is this? You know, you look all over for this thing. And she sought and sought, and then she found it. He tells the story of a prodigal. And this prodigal's son was a man who grew up and said to his daddy, "I want all my inheritance and I'm out of here." And he left. And the scripture tells us that this man came to the end of himself when he started eating with the pigs. And he came back home, and his father, representing God, welcomed him because he was looking for him. And in each one of these cases, what we find is the truth that there is joy in one sinner, and there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And it's a picture of God, God reaching out. And he looked at you and he sought you. And you came to God, not because of who you are, but because of who He is. He is a God. He is our Father. And He sought you. And if you are saved this morning, it is because God sought you. And secondly, He bought you. Romans 5 verse 8, we already quoted it, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you. God commendeth His love in that while you were yet a sinner, He died for you. He purchased you by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sin. You know what this is called? This is called redemption. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, you were not redeemed, or you were not purchased with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, the Bible tells us that Christ, God sent forth His Son. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son to die for your sin. Because He was lifted up, He draws men to Himself. And when a person, by faith, accepts Jesus Christ and His shed blood in Calvary, the Bible tells us that this is because He sought you. I don't know when you got saved. When did you get saved? Wouldn't it be fun to just get up and have, okay, we're not going to have church tonight. Everybody's going to get up and give their testimony. And when we're all done, we'll take a lunch break and come back for the evening service. Wouldn't you like to do that? For some reason, no, I don't want to get up in front of anybody. Now, the Scripture tells us that He purchased our salvation not by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Today is my wife and I, my anniversary. We have a 40-year, today, first time I remember in a long time, Father's Day was on the day of our anniversary. So 40 years ago, I said, I will. And she said, I will. And we haven't wilted since. So it's interesting that you know, we decided, okay, we're going to do something special for our 40th anniversary. So we are going on an Alaska cruise in September. So we're looking forward to that. But you know what? It costs a lot of money. My brother's been going on cruise. Matter of fact, my brother right now is on a cruise in Alaska. I don't know how many dozens of those cruises he's been on. I'm thinking, I don't want to pay that kind of money. You know, to me, a vacation is staying home and doing nothing. Now, it costs a lot of money, but, you know, I thought, well, I think I'll do it. Why did I do it? Because I love my wife. And I wanted to do that. And I paid for that. We've already paid for it, so we got to go now. And Why did God send Jesus Christ? Well, because He loved us. He paid for all our sins by dying on the cross. It cost the life of His Son. How would you like, fathers, to have to sacrifice the life of your child in order for you to be a help to somebody else? Well, Jesus Christ died, the Son of God, and it cost Him His life. You see, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, our Heavenly Father not only sought you, He not only bought you, but thirdly, He adopted you. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. If you go over there, and Pastor Nathan was quoting some of these verses. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And Abba is Aramaic for Father. And some have tried to help us identify that. It's like saying Daddy. And the Scripture tells us that we have, if we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, we have been adopted into the family of God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, you don't need to turn there, but it says, because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We adopted Matthew. And before the adoption went through, we had to go before the judge. And Matthew was just a little baby, and we sat in the courtroom. And the judge was very stern. You know, I guess I kind of expect him to be a little bit more friendly, you know. But he looked at us, and he said, I'm going to ask you a question. He says, will you treat Matthew as if he were your child you gave birth to? And we said, yes, sir. And that adoption was something that, you know, he's been our son. We've gone through good times, we've gone through hard times, as some of you know. But he's our son. Well, let me just say that God, when He sought you, that's the only reason you're here right now, and He bought you, He adopted you. You became His son. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become a son of God. And the only thing I can think of when I think of that is, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3, verse 1. He is so compassionate. Our Father is compassionate. And I don't know what kind of upbringing you have. And sometimes people say, well, you know, because of my upbringing, that's the way I'm in the mess I'm in. Or that's why I do what I do. But it doesn't matter about your upbringing when you have a Heavenly Father like this, who gives Himself out of compassion for you. So we see, first of all, the compassion of our Father. But I want you to see, secondly, something else that we find when we're going through these verses of Scripture. We see the care of our Father. The care of our Father. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your care on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. And you see, God the Father is a good daddy. He's a good father. He's a good leader. Not because He has to, because, you know, what happened? I saved these people. Okay, now I got to treat them right. Because after all, I'm holy. You know? No, it's not like that. He cares for you. And when we consider these truths of His care, I want to just identify some things that's involved in that. First of all, I want you to see in His care for you that He is intimately involved with you. He's intimately involved with you. Intimacy is a good word. It's not a sexual word. It's a word of closeness. It's a word of relationship. Now, we're told, for instance, that He shows His intimacy by, you know, He sees us. Matthew chapter 6, interesting. We see it in different occasions. Give your alms and do it in secret. Because why? Thy Father in secret sees us. He tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, when you pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast closed the door, thy Father which is in secret, He seeth in secret, and He'll answer your requests. We're told in Matthew 6, 18, when you fast, your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee. And what I see here is this, that your Heavenly Father is watching you. He knows what's going on. He sees every good deed you do. He sees every struggle you face. He sees the pain. You know, one of the things that I'm so glad of is that He not only sees me, but He knows me. We're told in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you even ask them. We're told in Matthew 6, 32, your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all things. And He sees you and He knows what you're going through. He knows your needs. He knows your pain. He knows your hypocrisy. He knows whether you are genuine or not. He knows if you're a believer. One of the most comforting facts that I think of, He knows I'm just but clay. He knows that we're just men. He knows we're just people that are frail. He knows all of these things. But you know what He does? We're told in John chapter 5, verse 17, it says that He works. My Father works and I work. Now, He was in the midst of a discussion about they accuse Him of breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus said, well, the Father's always working. You know, it's not like God says, oh man, it's seventh day, I got to rest, nothing, you know, I can't do anything, you know. You know, it's not that way at all. He's always working. Just like we, on the Lord's day, we ought to treat it different than the other days, but we ought to be active, and it doesn't hurt to go to church. And it doesn't hurt to give of your time. Yeah, but it's the day of rest. I want to just sit in my boat and fish. Now, God always works. He initiates things. He said, ah, there they go. Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my daughter, my son? He's always active. He never takes a break. And when you're eternal and you're all powerful, you don't have to take a break. And the scripture tells us he is so intimately involved in you, with you. He knows what you're dealing with. But not only in his care for us, is he intimately involved with us, but he also provides for you. Now, have you ever tried to do a study on all that God the Father does for you? You see, the scripture tells us that he gives you the ability to live for him. You say, oh, look what all I did for God. No, look what God did to allow you to do what you're doing. I find Luke 24:49, Jesus said, I'm going to send the promise of my Father so that you'll be endued with power. Luke 24:49. He gives you the strength. I am so weak. I'm talking to Donnie this morning and I said, you know, I mean, I'm getting older and I don't have the energy I used to have. I mean, I was always, I gotta go. And now I don't feel like it. And all the old people said, amen. You know, you just need strength. You need energy. You need the capacity to be able to do what he told you to do. And he provides for us. You know, he gives us the Holy Spirit. And this is why, boy, it'd be great to get, this is a good time to get into my last week's message, but I don't have time for that. The Holy Spirit, he enables us. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit. He provides material needs, doesn't he? Matthew chapter 6. Can we go over there? Matthew chapter 6. You know these verses. I hope you know these verses. If not, boy, do you have a treat coming. Look at this. Matthew chapter 6. And I want you to read this as if this is the first time you'd ever read this. Matthew chapter 6. Notice what he tells us in verse 25. I say unto you, take no thought. You know what that means? Don't worry. Don't worry about your life, what you shall eat, what you're going to drink, your body, what you shall put on. Look at verse 26. The fowls of the air, he tells us at the end of that verse, our Father feeds them. By the way, aren't you better than they? Verse 28, why take thought? Why worry about raiment? God says in verse 29 that Solomon in all his glory isn't as clothed as these lilies. Now, verse 30, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? I don't know what your deepest need is, but I'm glad God the Father knows. And he'll meet your material needs. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I very seldom worry about money. I very seldom worry about things. God's just been so good to me. I mean, sending me to Alaska on a cruise. He not only provides power and material needs, He also provides spiritual needs. He provides spiritual needs. John 6:32 said, "Then Jesus said to them, 'Moses gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven.'" You know, what we really need is not food. We need God. What we really need is for the Lord to just take control of my life. These things are secondary. Blessed, Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." I remember parking on that when we were in Ephesians 1 100 years ago. Spiritual blessings. It really hadn't been that long. 2-3 years, I forget. I can't even get through my sermons in Ephesians on a given portion. I have to wait and extend it the next week. So we are in chapter 5 now. But I want you to think that He gives us all spiritual blessings. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, and Ephesians 1:17, Ephesians 6:23, He gives grace, He gives mercy, He gives peace, He gives wisdom, He gives revelation. You know, He does these things for us. You see, He's interested in you. You are very special to Him. And it's important that sometimes we beat ourselves up because we can't do better. Because why? Because we love our Father. But He understands and He works with us. He is an advocate, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. And He tells us that if any man sin, we have an advocate. You say, what is an advocate? It's the very same word that's translated comforter in John chapter 14. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means He's an encourager. He's a comforter. But literally, it's a paraclete. He comes alongside of us. God leads His dear children along. Some through positive things, some through negative things. He has given us all things, 2 Peter chapter 1, that pertain unto life and godliness. You see, He provides for us. He gives to us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. How, you know, if ye then being evil, this is what Matthew 7 says, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? We're told in James chapter 1, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness nor shadow turning. He's not moody. He doesn't fluctuate. He is perfectly, faithfully consistent. He cares for you. He provides for you. He gives to you. He assists you. Matthew 10. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 10. And in Matthew chapter 10, we're told in verse 19, When they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. For it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now, we talked about the filling of the Spirit last week, and how that Peter, being controlled by God, was able to say, in answer to Jesus' question, "Who do men say I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And sometimes you get into situations where, if you are filled with the Spirit, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. God can give you the words that you need to give. You're witnessing to someone, and you're saying, "Man, I don't know how to answer that one." So you throw a prayer to God and say, "God, help me." And you walk away and say, "Wow, God provided for me." See, that's why you need to be filled with the Spirit, but I digress. So we have to understand that He gives us direction. 1 Thessalonians 3:11, "Now God Himself and our Father direct our way unto you." Our Father brought you to Manhattan, Kansas, okay? So I don't know how it happened, but He directs and leads. Unless you're running away from God like Jonah, but if you're a child of God, He has a way of getting Jonah back to Nineveh. Might even swallow you in a fish or something. He protects us. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Now you're in chapter 10. Look at verse 28. "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell." That's God, by the way. You want to fear someone, you better fear God. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore ye are of more value than the sparrows." He protects you. First Corinthians 15:24, "Even your Father whom ye have shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power." He is more strong than any of your problems. And if He decides to let you go through it, He has a powerful reason for it. He is a God who truly, truly is powerful. Galatians 1:4, "that our Father, He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." So God has the ability to protect us. He answers us. John 15:16, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. And whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name," guess what He'll do? What will He do? Why, you want to be filled with the Spirit. He gives, and He gives more. That's the care of our Father. But I have 3 minutes. The third thing I want you to see is not only the compassion of our Father, but the care of our Father. I want you to see the character of our Father. The character of our Father. First of all, we see in the Scripture that He is pure. He is pure. Be therefore perfect. Why? Even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He is our holy God. Not only is He pure, but He is also powerful. He is very powerful. John 6 verse 39 tells us, "This is the Father's will, that all which He hath given me, I shall lose nothing." Someone says, "I think I can lose your salvation." Yeah, right. As if God could not keep you. And He's promised to keep you. Now, being pure and powerful, what does He have to do when we get out of line? He has to chasten us. Whom the Lord loveth, He in other words, He has to sometimes bring us through the trials. And we also know, when we consider His character, that He is purposeful. Galatians 1, verse 1, Paul says, "I am an apostle because of God the Father." Now, I'm going to tell you something. I am what I am by the grace of God. You are what you are by the grace of God. And He calls you to certain ministries. God's given you certain gifts, and you ought to be using those gifts. And if you're not using those gifts, what an insult to a mighty God. He does not force His hand against you. He allows you to make choices. He controls the future. Acts chapter 1, verse 7, "It is not for you to know the time and the seasons of His coming," Jesus says to His apostles. But He says, "The Father hath," He knows these things. He knows your future. You ever want to be in a time machine? You say, "Oh, I want to go future. I don't know if I'd want to do that." Well, God sees the day of your death. God sees eternity because He's an eternal God. He'll raise us up. John 5:21. "For as the Father raises up the dead, He'll raise you up." He'll reward us. Matthew 6, verse 6. "Your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee." It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. And He'll give us eternal life. Colossians 1:12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints." We're going to have a wonderful inheritance. 1 John 1:2 says that He gives eternal life, which was with the Father. So you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. And our Father is watching every hair or non-hair on your head. He's watching everything. And He sees you now. Now, we could go on and on and on. But let me just say, as an earthly father, what can I learn from God the Father? Well, let me just quickly mention and ask you a question. Are you saved? Because if you are not saved, you are not His child. You need to receive Christ. But as a child of God, do you initiate love and sacrifice for your children? Our Heavenly Father does that with us. As a father, do you provide for your children? You say, oh yeah, I pay for them, let them eat. But that's only part of it. What about all the spiritual direction you need to give? Are you concerned about your character in front of your children as God is concerned about His character? May God give us grace to follow the example of our Heavenly Father. Now, Lord, we need You. And we thank You that You hear us, You know our needs, You see us. And God, I ask that You would just protect us, continue to protect us. Thank You, Lord, for the trials You bring to make us better. Thank You, Lord, for all the things that You do on our behalf, how You assist us and You provide for us. Forgive us when we're not thankful. I ask, God, that You'd be with these dads that are here, or potential dads or future dads, that You would just somehow help them to be pure even now, so that they can be the kind of dads that they need to be. Lord, protect us. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, maybe you'd say, I don't know if I'm going to heaven. I really need to be saved. I'm not sure of my salvation. Is there anyone like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anyone say, I don't know if I'm saved? Give you a moment. Maybe you're a little hesitant because everybody here thinks you're saved. Are you sure you're saved? If you're not sure, please come and talk to me. Now, based on your testimony just now, you are saved. How are you doing? How are you doing? Talked with someone recently and asked them if they were right with God. And they said, well, I'm saved. And I said, well, that's good that you're saved. I said, are you right with God? Well, no, I'm not. If you are not right with God, whatever the reason or whatever the circumstances, your Heavenly Father is reaching out to you. Why not just come before Him and cast all your cares on Him, because He cares for you. We're going to have an invitation song in a moment. Maybe you feel a need to come and kneel at the altar, or maybe you would just like to sit in your seat and just deal with God. But whatever your need may be, as the pianist plays, I'd encourage you, run to Him, just like the prodigal that ran back to his father. Let's stand to our feet, no one looking around. Now, Lord, help us as we have this invitation. With our head bowed and our eyes closed as the pianist plays, deal with the Lord if you would. you take your hymn book, 426, let's sing that second verse. Second verse. Talk to the Lord now. Come back tonight. We'll be studying music, and Pastor Nathan started that last Sunday night, and I think this would be a real help to us. I hate to think any of our members would miss this message tonight, so I hope you'll come and be with us. Pastor Nathan, would you close us, please?
Our wonderful Heavenly Father, we are grateful even for the reminders today about the privilege it is to be able to call you Father. And Lord, I pray that we would go away comforted. And then Lord, for those of us who are fathers, I pray that we would be challenged to seek to model this in our homes. Lord, I pray that we would take the initiative in our families, and that we would reach out in love just as you loved us. Lord, we praise you for your goodness in our lives. And I pray that we would go out even with the goodness of you on our lips to tell other people how they can be a child of God as well. I pray this in Jesus' name.
God bless you.